You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
I'm on with Lily Knowles and Jan Hellriegel, who has a show coming up this evening on the If Not Now, Then When? Or If Not Now, When? tour at Moons this evening. Welcome.
Oh, it is just so mind-blowing to be here. I was just saying to Lily, the last time I was here in this area, because it's kind of changed a bit, 40 years.
40 years, wow.
40 years, 4-0. Like, so when I was at Radio 1, this was brand new. We moved into the brand new.
Sure.
And looks like it's been, you know, looked after very well.
Well lived in.
Wonderful. It's wonderful. And yeah, it's pretty freaky to be here, though. Like, really mind-blowing.
Yeah, well, I was going to lead with, because I've got two of them in the room. You guys shared basically the same job?
Kind of, yeah.
I was called the advertising manager. It was a little bit different because advertising was syndicated, so that all the university stations had the same. Like, we had, you know, if an advertising agency did one ad, we'd all get the same one, so we'd just get the flights, you know, and
yeah,
it was quite good.
It's a bit same now, but then we do also do the individual packages.
Do you want me to sing one of my jingles?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Peter Garding's bicycle shop. Boop, will he rip you off? No, he will not. It's worth taking time to travel around town. A bicycle extraordinaire. He won't let you down. I don't think Peter Garding's around anymore. But anyway.
Yeah.
I have all these jingles that I wrote.
Wow. I'm not quite up to writing jingles yet. Maybe I should reincorporate that into the job.
Come in here and sing them.
Yeah.
So, like, oh, it was just a lot of fun. But I didn't get that many ads because I wasn't very good. I used to sit around waiting for those agency ones to come through. But yeah, when we did them, I did the jingles. Yeah,
but and you remember them?
Yeah, there's another lame pins. Yeah, no, I do remember some of them. I just have to remember the brand names, and then they kind of come back because I kind of remember all. Written.
That's the sign of a good jingle, though, right? It sticks for a long, long time.
Well, I thought Peter Godding's bicycle shop one was a genius. I don't know if it was. I don't know if it did anything.
Moved any bicycles or anything like that.
It's clearly not there anymore. But yeah, but it was neat. Yeah, really good.
Lily, I'll let you ask about the show.
Yeah, so why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the show? You've done the rest of the country.
I've hardly done any of the country, but it's very hard touring. Like, it's excruciatingly hard to tour. Mainly just, like, the last time I toured was in 2019, before COVID, and that was to support the Sportsman of the Year. And it was doing really well, and I went on this tour, and people came, and I covered costs, and it was really amazing, and then obviously COVID, and that was the end of that. I couldn't really promote it anymore. It just kind of, you know, disappeared. And then, so since then, I've been working on my new project. It is bigger than Sportsman of the Year. And I just got frustrated because it's taking so long. I wanted to kind of introduce some of these new things from this big project. But, of course, also people like the Old Faithfuls as well. Like, sure. If they come to one of my shows, they are expecting the songs.
The classics, the hits.
But I don't. I'm back into music like in a lot bigger way now because you know my kids are grown up and that's what I am. I've always been a musician, so I'm decided to come back and get going again. But I don't want to go backwards. I don't want to go back to what I was. I want to sort of reinvent myself as this new kind of thing. And the part of the If Not Now When show is about introducing this new me. And so it's pretty different. But it still has the Old Faithfuls in there too.
Sure. Well, it says that you're behind a piano for the show.
Well, my first instrument was a piano.
Sure.
And I'm going to, I sometimes say this tell a story in the show, but when I was up in Kirikiri about 2019 when Sportsman came out, I went and did a show up there and it was the beginning of this particular sort of show now. I was experimenting with it. And it went down really, really well, and I got a lot of laughs because I really like making people laugh, and I like the comedy aspect. And I started putting the piano into my set, which I've never really done. And the show went down really, really well. But afterwards, this young woman came up to me and said, "Look, Jan, I really enjoyed your show, but you've got to practice more."
Sure.
Yeah, and I said, "You know what? I do, don't I?" So I've practiced, and who knew? You get better.
Yeah.
You get better at your instrument when you've been practicing. Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, my piano teacher told me that once upon a time, and did I listen? No, I didn't. So I've always been able to play the piano, but I'm trying to get better. And I'm about sort of 10 years away from being as good as I want to be. Sure. But part of that is to do with this new, you know, the piano was introduced because I really like the instrument. It's an amazing instrument. It can do lots of different things. But I also play the guitar as well. But it's I'd kind of say it's more of a, it's almost like a theatre show with music.
Sure.
Almost a one-woman show, almost.
Yeah, well, when I was reading the blurb, it said like a lot of yarning as well, a lot of story bits, a lot of...
Yeah, but it's linear like that. There is an arc,
sure.
You know, it does take you, and the end of it is to introduce my new project. And see, I'm not really talking about it publicly until you're kind of at the show.
Okay. So you've got to get along. You've got to get along this evening at Moon's.
Yeah, and I've played it, so I've tried to get... I'm still taking it around, so I'm not saying it's...
the finished article.
It wasn't, like, Dunedin wasn't the last place I wanted. I wanted to come here a lot, but it was too expensive to kind of...
Sure.
Yeah, to cut a long story short, I've worked out how to get here. So I'm very excited. And the weird thing is, a lot of the stuff I play in this show, I actually wrote here.
Like, way back, like, when you'd...
Mm.
Wow.
A lot of the songs from my early albums, like It's My Sin, and even Tremble to a certain degree, were written here, and they're about things in Dunedin. So it's kind of, that's why I had to...
It's very cyclical.
Yeah.
Very
how does it feel kind of coming back and about to play those songs on
that's
Dunedin ground again?
Even just coming back here, it's just like, oh my goodness, so much has happened. And first of all, I feel really grateful that I can do that, that I can come into a show here. But more than that, it feels like I had to come here because now it's my launch pad again for the next phase. If that's why I had to get here.
Yeah.
It's just, I always find it very creative here. And even sitting here with you now, like looking around, it's inspiring. You know, it's a really inspiring place to be. And,
I saw you, we've got our New Zealand CDs in the studio room, and I saw you rifling through before we went on. And it always impresses something upon me that there's just that much, you know, a wealth of music.
Oh,
and that's dated, you know. People don't give us CDs anymore.
Yeah,
so.
There's a lot of really talented people out there. And I don't know, it's just nice to be a small part of the fabric of the New Zealand music kind of thing.
Yeah, the ethos, the
you know, yeah. And it's always growing and developing, and there's always amazing people coming along, and the fact that I can still actually do a show and people come,
yeah,
you know, it's really special,
nice.
Really special, because you know, and you know, I was away for a long time, and it's nice that people will take the time to come and see what I'm up to.
Was was Moon's here when you were?
No.
Yeah.
No.
What was the go-to venue in town?
The Crown was there. We had the Oriental, played mostly at the Oriental,
sure.
And the Cock. Those two, but Oriental's gone, isn't
Oriental's
it?
Gone,
Oriental's
and the Cook
gone.
Is very recently gone.
Cook is, well, it was, Cook became Dive, and now Dive has become Dropkicks.
Okay.
So it's still there.
Still where it is.
Very different kind of venue, though.
Yeah. And there's a Sal's Pizza underneath.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to know where to play now because I'm not really, I'm obviously not a student audience person. Although, sure. I've got to say, because I have played this, I mean, lots of different age groups come to see me. Like, I had these students come into a show at Auckland. They go, oh, you're on Spotify? I really like your music, you know. And I went, yeah, but that's okay because people don't know who I am, and that's okay. And I work with people that are heaps younger than me. Mm. And, you know, I might have won a Songwriter of the Year award once upon a time, but no, it doesn't matter anymore because it's a new thing, it's a new zeitgeist, and that's okay too. So my thing is, it's not like people won't listen to me because of I might be older. It's just a matter of whether I can get to their ears. And, and I think the modern generation is actually more open to all types of music now. And
for sure.
And they don't really. I think it's better. I think it's much broader.
It's not as much niches, you know. Like when it used to be that the people you hung out with listened to one genre of music, and you found music through those people. Now it's like you can ask someone goes like, "What kind of music do you listen to?" well, I listen to everything. I have everything at my fingertips,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And it's good. And so for me, because one of the things when I started in music, it was like when you got older, and it wasn't just me, it was the other guys too. You get older and you think, oh, I'm too old to be in this rock and roll thing. Okay, but that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Do you know? And it was something for me as a woman, it was a very hard thing to kind of deal with. But that was in my time, like in the 90s, it was a lot different, you know. And I did feel like, oh, I'm past it now, and, you know, I quit. But you see, you can never quit music. You can never quit it. It's always there. If that's what you are, it's always there, you know. And it's always whispering into your head to, you know, do something and write something. And yeah, so I have written, you know, most of the last 40 years. But now I'm focused on it completely, 100% again, so that's going to be good.
Yeah, tell us about the title of the show and kind of what that means to you.
Well, If Not Now, When? It's because I needed to get some of these new things out, but it's going to be maybe another year before I can actually deliver it to the public, you know, let it out there, let the baby out there. But that they're really good songs already. I just wanted to kind of introduce the concept of, and I also wanted to trial them with audiences. But and it's not the whole show; it's just a couple of them, and I explained the concepts. But I was playing in Mangawai, and there were these two Californian students that were travelling, and they watched the show, and now they're following me on Instagram, and they came and saying, when's this thing out? We just really want to see it. So I think it really has universal appeal, but it is different to everything I've done before. And I think Sportsman is kind of an indication of where I'm heading with it, because there is a book, you know, there's a novel.
I've read it. It's on my shelf.
There's more of that, but let's just go bigger.
Yeah,
I'm going bigger.
Yeah, well, I mean, with Sportsman and the book, it's very kind of has a narrative.
Yeah,
you know, when you read it, and it does flow.
Yeah,
and you say the same thing with this show. It kind of seems to have an arc to it. Do you like writing like that, like telling a whole story across these songs?
Well, having thought about it long and hard, because I felt I was a faux artist. Because I've had to, you know, work, you know.
Yeah.
I have to go to work.
I have to get a job,
you know. And I've never really been commercially, really super successful. I've never really been hugely successful. I have a vaguely known name maybe for my generation, but I've never been a really famous artist. And I used to think, oh, is that failure or is that, you know. So anyway, I don't even know where I'm going with that one. I think that now, looking at it, yes, I have been, because it is actually all I've really thought about. I only think about music. That's what and making stuff and writing and all of that. So I think I am that, and I do reflect that in all of my work. So everything in my work, there is a reality, because it is learned experience. And I don't think I would have got that learned experience without all of the jobs and all of the weird things and all the crazy things that happen to you in your life, and the good things and the bad things. So yes, I reflect my generation, and then I reflect the current generation through the eyes of my generation. And my job as the artist, and this is all of the artist's job, is to reflect the zeitgeist.
Sure.
To make it into manageable bites, time capsules.
Mm. How do you see you've been in the music industry for a long time. How has it changed dramatically in New Zealand?
Obviously the biggest change would be the digital kind of revolution. Like when we recorded, like when Cassandra's Ears recorded their EPs, we saved for them, but we also got paid at gigs. And I was, you know, about universities used to do these syndicated touring circuits, and we got paid reasonably well for it, and we put all of that money into making it. So it was very expensive to record, like super, super expensive, because you have to go into the studio and buy tapes, and there's just a lot of overheads, right? So that's changed. Like, you can make music a lot easier.
In your bedroom for nothing.
Yeah. Yep. So you can do that. So that's really neat. And obviously the difference also was getting rid of the physical, tangible product that you could sell at your shows, which actually helped make you make more records. So, you know, taking merch on the road, that's how we used to make money too, okay? And we'd get better royalties from APRA in those days as well, much better royalties. We had fantastic royalties, oh my God. So all those, you know, so there was actually a bit more of an income to be made, and even if you were a little indie band like we were, and people would come to shows and you know, you'd make a few dollars, you know. But it wasn't like now. I mean, honestly, it's paying to play at the moment. Yeah. It's really hard. So that not having a physical thing to sell people has changed that makeup as well. And obviously with the streaming services paying like nothing, that's kind of made it really hard as well. You can get your music out there, but there's a lot more of it. And really, you know, you don't get. I sell one book, that's a month of royalties on the streaming services.
Yep. And people are coming back into physical releases as well. I'm working with a band at the moment, and this weekend they're burning a bunch of CDs to sell at gigs, and it's, you know, it's a $15 CD, but that is going to make them the most profit that they will make on that entire tour.
Yeah, and you know, if anyone likes listening to music. You know, if you want to support, you know, the people that you listen to, you go to Bandcamp and you pay for that. Even if you're not listening to it from there, but that's how you support artists, our musicians, and the merch is really, you know, really important as well. I listen to streaming services because, you know, for work and everything, it's easier, and they've actually got lots of metadata on them, which is quite helpful for finding things.
Associated things.
So there are, you know, but so there's been heaps of change. I mean, lots. And the other thing is that we didn't have funding. We didn't have any arts funding. And that's changed. And so I've never really been, I've never really had about arts funding. I don't know. I was kind of the wrong generation, and now I'm kind of, so I've had to survive without it. So there's those things as well. That's changed. Has it got easier or harder? I think it's always just kind of, you just got to kind of love it.
Yeah.
If you don't love it, then it's just not the right thing to do.
No, if someone came to me and said, I really want to make money in my life, I'm going to be a musician.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't.
Like, you're insane.
I mean, I thought it'd be easy. I thought I was going to be, like, when I signed to Warner's, I thought that, being, you know, I thought I was home and house. I'm going to be the next as big as Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
You know, easy. It was not like that at all. And I've worked lots of part-time jobs at very minimum wages to sustain my music career. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying that.
That's the reality.
It's just if you want to do, you know, if you want financial success, arts are really hard. There's a really good book, actually, by a guy called Derizowicz. I think I've spelled that wrong. It's The Death of the Artist in the Digital Age. But the weird thing is what the digital age did is it took away our ability to make incomes because of the physical, tangible stuff that we used to sell as a, I say product, I mean, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's something that you could physically sell. And so the digital age is been very hard on the arts.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that I don't want to, but it's here. So you've got to have to accept that it's here, but incomes, yeah. But that's not to say that one day you might hit it big. And who knows, I might. This next project of mine might be this huge success, and then that's it. And I never have to work that part-time job again. But if you do it for that, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm optimistic, but I do it because I love it. Sure. And it all boils back to that, and that makes every single struggle and every single hard thing worth it.
As like you said, you know, when you're an artist, you can't deny it. You can try and avoid it. You can try and, you know, pretend that you're something else. But at the end of the day, you are an artist, and there will be a part of you that will just want to do it even if it's really hard.
And I think you just think a little bit differently to other people just because you are reflecting and you're always thinking. I was thinking that this morning when I was having breakfast with some people, thinking about the things I talk about. I go, oh, my God. That's why I'm not very good at parties.
Yeah,
I go straight to the jugular. I want to get down to philosophy. Talking about deep stuff. And not much fun. But, yeah. Maybe I am after I have a bit of champagne.
Yeah. I could do small talk if I had three drinks.
Do I regret anything? You know, after 40 years of being in this industry, I am so grateful, and I'm still grateful to be able to do a show.
Speaking of the show, Moons tonight, tickets are undertheradar.co.nz.
I'd say there'd be some more walk-ups. I don't think it's going to be a full house. It's a nice house. It's sitting as a nice house at the moment, so that's good. And also, students can come in at a better rate. If they just say they're a student, you don't need to show ID. I don't do IDs. You know, I don't care. In fact, if you want to come along and be the student, please, by all means, say you're a student.
Suspiciously job-having looking students coming along.
I don't mind. The main thing for me was actually to play and have a reason to come here. And I also have a couple of kids that I wanted to visit as well. But, just really, really great. And the show has been going down really, really well. And it's sit-down. It's a sit-down show.
Fantastic.
Lovely. It's a bit of a cabaret almost bar, isn't it, Moons? It's the kind of the way that it's set up.
Is it?
Very, like, sit-down shows, kind of.
Oh, that's good, because I'm going there loungy for a sound check. But that's probably why I picked it.
Mm.
Yeah, it sounds quite nice. Apparently they do very good food. I heard yesterday, if you want to go for a dinner and a show, you know. So.
The piano ties into that really nicely as well, the lounge, the dinner and a show.
Smoky
artist in the corner on the piano.
Yeah, the smoky artist, yeah. No, I've given up smoking now. we used to smoke in here. You know, used to smoke.
I shouldn't say it, but I feel like some people still do. It smells a bit odd in there sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's the balcony out there.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for coming on AirChat. It's been lovely to chat with you.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And it was just lovely to be here again. So thank you.
And we'll try to keep the building here for another 40 years, but you can never say for certain with some of the
If I come back here
bureaucrats.
In 40 years, I've hit...
Yeah, you've done very well.
I've hit where I want to get to.
Well, we celebrated our 40th birthday last year, Radio 1, so we're really just keeping up with your musical career.
Mm. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, last year. So we're 41 this year, 41 years.
Okay, so I missed... It was in this building... But it was operating in the campus before that. So, yeah, that makes sense because I didn't start when it was here 40 years ago. But, yeah, my career, Radio 1.
Intrinsically tied.
Yeah.
We'll stay as long as you stay.
Right, well, I'm going to get to 200.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
That was the Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.